welcome to worship today at Second Baptist Church. I am so delighted to be here with all of you. I want to thank you for allowing me some time off to go have a vacation. I missed you guys, but I had some great time to get away and recharge and re-energize just in time to leave for children's camp tomorrow with our kiddos. So I'm excited about the trip we're about to take to Athens, Texas. Please be in prayer for myself and Jordan, and Cindy McBrayer is going along with us too. We're going to have a great week with 13 of our children and a bunch of other kids from a bunch of other churches, and I know we're going to have a great week down there. Now I'd like to welcome Casey as her first official Sunday with us. Say hello, please. We're so delighted to have Casey logged in with us for the time being, and I know she's going to do such a beautiful job, and you guys are going to want to get to know her as I am getting to know her as well. Now, very important, please remember that anniversary dinner is Wednesday, August the 24th, and you don't want to miss this evening. Coach Mark Adams will be here from Texas Tech, the basketball team, and we're going to have a sellout crowd right here in this very room, and tickets are on sale today in the entrance area right in front of the office or online too, and I know they're going to have a certain number of tickets to sell, so please be sure and get those in a timely manner because the cutoff date is coming soon and you don't want to miss the great dinner and the great event that we're going to have that night. Now let's just take a moment and prepare ourselves for the worship service today. Would you take a breath and still yourselves with me? The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Thank you.
invite you all to join me in our call to worship and stand as you're able. In Christ, in Christ,
God reconciles all things.
In Christ,
we receive God's grace.
Christ in you
is the hope of glory.
Thanks be to God. Dear God, we come to you today to worship you, to learn about you, and to draw near to you, God. In all the noise and chaos that happens in this world and in our lives, let us be refreshed by the stillness that's found in your Spirit. It is in your Son's holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
Greatly to be praised.
to invite the boys and girls to join me down at the front for children's time today. If you're here, would you come sit with me up here? Come on, Johnny. Wow, you guys look just real thrilled to be walking down here, huh, Barrett? Thanks for coming down. Whew, I thought you would miss me and you'd run up to the front. Yeah, thanks for coming. I'm glad to see you guys. I missed your faces while I was gone, and I'm so glad to be here today. Okay, so all week this week, I've been looking at the scripture, and there's one phrase that is stuck in my brain, and it says, Christ is the image of the invisible God. Christy, would you hold that? Christ is the image of the invisible God. And I thought, I have children's time this Sunday. How am I going to describe an invisible God? How are we going to talk about that here at children's time today? And you know what? Recently, I was with some friends, and they were talking. We were having this conversation, and they were talking about this really awesome laundry detergent they have. I love laundry detergent. I love washing my clothes, and I love going throughout the day where you might itch your jacket or your pants, and you can smell your fresh, clean clothes. Well, we were talking to my friends, and apparently they have the most amazing laundry detergent. And someone said to them, oh my gosh, where in the world do you get this laundry detergent? I believe it smells as heaven must. And I thought, well, that's it. That has to be the invisible God. And I brought this. I'm going to open this little thing. Hold on. Get ready. I said, I need to borrow some. Take a whiff of this. Hold on. Are you smelling this amazing? Take a whiff. It's pretty great, isn't it? Yes. Let's smell it, Johnny. Eva, smell that. This laundry detergent, you can smell it even just from the, I can just waft it to you, right? And as you're walking, and as you're walking through the stores, and as you're walking through your house, and you smell this amazing laundry detergent, and you think, it's with me all day long. Well, guess what? That's just like God. Our invisible God is with us all day. Can you think that this, wouldn't this just be beautiful if this was our God? If it smelled just, this has got to be what God smells like for certain, right? I mean, it has to be in my brain. I mean, obviously, it smells this amazing. So one of the greatest things about your God is no matter where you go and where you are, God is with you through Christ Jesus. We talked about that today, didn't we, Barrett, in Sunday school? Through living water, right? Y'all, we talked about that. And I wanted you to have an actual visual of what God must smell like, and it has to be this laundry detergent for certain. And we are grateful, just like someone who wears these clothes that smells this good all day long, we are grateful that God sits with us, that God walks with us, that God talks to us and listens to us, even when we don't know that God is right there, right? I hope that this might help you to remember how great our invisible God is all day and every day. All right, would you guys pray with me? God, we thank you for being right by our side, for being with us, for helping us to see your beauty through people, through trees, through flowers, through music, through our clean laundry, whatever it is, Lord, we thank you so much for the love that you shine upon us each and every day. In your most holy name, I pray. Amen. If you guys are going to preschool praise, Miss Christy is right here. She'll walk with you.
Psalm reading this morning is Psalm 15. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? Those who walk blamelessly and do what is right and speak the truth from their heart, who do not slander with their tongue and do no evil to their friends, nor heap shame upon their neighbors, in whose eyes the wicked are despised, but who honor those who fear the Lord, who stand by their oath, even to their hurt, who do not lend money at interest, and do not take a bribe against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be moved. The word of God for the people of God.
Let's pray together. God, we believe that you are more than enough. And so we pray, asking that you would remind us again that you are enough, that there is enough. God, we believe that you are more than enough. And so we pray again, asking that we would be reminded that you are more. And God, you are. You are life. You are existence. You are breath. And we pray again, asking that your life, your presence, your existence, your isness would be near to us, our bodies, our souls, our families, our communities. May your isness be more than enough. We pray again in the name of the Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to stand as you're able. Continue to worship.
Reading this morning is from Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in Christ all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through Christ and for Christ. Christ is before all things and holds all things together. Christ is the head of the body, the church, the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that Christ might come to have first place in everything. For in Christ, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through Christ, God was pleased to reconcile all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of the cross. The word of the God, the word of God for the people of God.
Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your
I want to thank you for joining us for worship. Your presence, your face, your voice, just a gift. And the primary way, I believe, the primary way that I experience the Christ to be risen, to be alive, to be here is through you. And so I want to thank you. If there's any way we can be of help to you, invite you to use those cards as they're provided in front of you or behind you. If you're a real Christian on the front row, that works too. Please particularly consider those prayer cards. It's really one of the most sacred things we do each and every week is our staff gathers together, and sometimes all we just say is the name of the person, you know. So just if there's any way we can partner with you in prayer, gosh, we would be honored to do so. I want to join with Pastor Cheryl and welcome Casey as well. We're grateful that you're here. You have a gift and a voice, and we're a better congregation because you're here. And I saw Scott earlier this week, and he's doing great, and he's excited, and I hope he slept in this morning. Those early services will get to you sometimes, but finally, want to ask that you join our church in prayer tomorrow morning at 6:30 a.m. We're sending some kiddos, and Pastor Cheryl and Jordan and Cindy McBrayer and others are going to kids camp in Athens. So pray for our kids. They're going to have a fabulous time, and they're taking a great group. Thanks be to God, I don't have to go to this one. I'm kidding. I wish I was going. Our family's going to get away this week. Next Sunday is our wedding anniversary, and so I'm going to stir the theological pot this week, and next week, Pastor Stephanie Nash will come and fix everything that I have done wrong in these years together. So thank you, Reverend Nash. This text, as Mary Beth has read for us, is this Colossians Christ the first, Christ the center, Christ the power that holds all things together, that redeems all things. If this was the only scripture we had, it would be enough. I mean, it's so good. It's reminiscent of that John 1, in the beginning was the Word, the Christ, the Logos, and that the Christ was there from the very beginning, that the Christ was the light and the life to the whole world. Probably this Colossians writing is in fact older than the John writing. So many contend that this section of Colossians is in fact a hymn. That this was one of the ways that the early church proclaimed their faith, was by singing these words that we have read together, in worship. And I'd like to remind you, as we sort of encountered last week, the letter begins with this extended opening of prayer and blessing and gratitude. And that this is, at least on this occasion, this was the pathway, this was the on-ramp for the highest of Christologies, the greatest portrait really in our New Testament, that the author spends extended time setting a stage of prayer and gratitude and blessing. And I think, again, this is significant. It is these humble practices that sort of encourage a spiritual posture, a spiritual sort of setting of the table in order to encounter this highly theological, if not even philosophical, statement. Prayer and blessing and gratitude is what brings us to higher levels of theology. And I believe the same is true in other discourses, that prayer and gratitude and blessing, that these also are the postures, that these also are that which sets the table for healthy political and philosophical discourse as well. Yeah, by learning and by beginning in these postures, I believe we can encounter a better dialogue. And I don't mean to just pick on a political discourse. I have been an active participant in theological education that felt as though, it seemed as though, that theology was some argument to be won, as if there are winners and losers in theology. Yuck. Theology is best maybe even understood as a way to live. And this is what the Christ the fullness of God was most interested in my encounter with the gospel material, as well as in my personal encounter with what we call spirit, or what we call the universal Christ. It seems as though theology, it seems as though Jesus is most interested in how we live. Which brings us to Elton John. Can I, brother, get an amen? Sorry, actually, Sir Elton Hercules John, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We grew up, my mom had a record player, and she just, and my mom and dad had a stereo with a record player attached to it. It wasn't, you know, the standalone record, you know, but they played a lot of records. They were just on. You know, cleaning house, doing chores, having dinner, whatever. Music was just on. And my earliest memories are really are filled with the ubiquitous songs of Three Dog Night, Billy Joel, Simon and Garfunkel, but most of all, just on in the background all the time, Elton John. Later, my parents really stepped up their game, and they got a double cassette player. And I wanted to show some of our students what a cassette is. this was amazing. You put one in, you know, and you're listening to that one, but you could stick the other one in and record on the other one what was playing on the first one. And then you could stop the recording and then put in a different album. And so you could ultimately have a cassette with songs from different albums on the same cassette. Now hang with me. My older brother was a smooth operator, and he was chasing. He had a love interest, we'll say, and he created a cassette with songs that he thought she might like. Steamy. And as you well may know, one of the greatest philosophical questions in all of human history is related to, well, you see, Elton John spent his entire career working with the same songwriter, Bernie Taupin. One of the most successful, long-lasting relationships in the music industry. So one of the great philosophical questions, of course, is it an Elton John song or is it a Bernie Taupin song? Well, yes. And you might remember I asked last week for your permission to say that Paul is the author here of Colossians. In the ancient world, sort of source material and authorship is far more nuanced and complex, particularly compared to our modern concepts of copyright. But I think Elton John and Bernie Taupin is a fabulous metaphor, not just but also for authorship in much of our scripture. So what then? How then are we to live? These are some of the things that sort of been on my heart and soul this week is encountering this scripture. Listen to this. All things have been created in and through Christ. Interestingly, our scriptures in Genesis begin with two creation stories. There's a creation poem in Genesis 1, and there's a second creation story in Genesis 2. The question might be, why does our scripture begin with stories about creation? Well, you know, maybe that's where you put first things first. I mean, that's possible. Probably Exodus came long before Genesis, and Genesis was added later to help us understand how we got to Exodus. But one of the interesting aspects of two creation stories that inaugurate our scriptures, particularly the Hebrew Bible, one of the interesting aspects of two creation stories here, I think, is not just saying that what happened in the beginning, but it's also saying one of the things that is first about God is a creator. One of the things that is first about what we understand as the divine is that the divine is actively creating. In Genesis 1, as you sort of work through the poem, and it gets to the end of the poem, and we are created and introduced. Humanity is introduced at the end of the poem. It's just a beautiful teaching, probably maybe what may be center in so much of how I understand faith now. But it says that humans were created in the image of God. The very presence, that the likeness of the divine is first and deep within you and within all people. And then just hang with me. We were created lovingly by a creator with that very image within us, which means that part of that divine spirit, that image that is within us, is a creative, creating image and spirit. Get to the point, Jake. We were created to create. One of the ways that we encounter the very presence of God is by creating. One of the ways that we encounter the Spirit is through we were created to create. Therefore, what are you making? What a great question to ask. What are you working on? And I'm just so encouraged, and I'm even like jazzed up and jacked up at times, thinking about God who sees me, who sees you in the morning. Imagine this. God sees you in the morning and says, "What do you want to make today?" I mean, what a beautiful image of God. Sees you and says, "What do you want to make today?" It's a way better, even more biblical image than some God that says, "I have something I intended for you to make today, and you need to do it to my exact specifications, or I'll be really upset at the end of the day. Give me a break." God sees us and says, "What are you making?" Maybe you make incredible art. I mean, incredible art that causes people to just stop and say, "Wow, man, that's, yeah, fabulous." Or maybe you don't make incredible art. Maybe you make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and you put them in superhero lunchboxes 5 mornings a week. Both of these creations are partnering with a God who lovingly creates. You do your thing. Keep making. Yeah. And maybe you make lots of money. Thanks be to God. Can a brother get an amen? Maybe you make lots of money with lots of people for lots of people, helping provide for literally for an economy and so that people have jobs and can provide for their families, so on and so on. What a wonderful ministry. You're making all those companies and shell companies to hold the shell company, and we see my business acumen, don't we? Yeah. Or maybe you make buildings. Incredible. Or maybe you make little tents in your living room with chairs and blankets. Yeah. What are you making? There, in that making, maybe what you are making doesn't make a dime, but you make people smile. The way that you tell that joke, the way that you write that card, you make people smile. Maybe you're making friendship. You're making relationship. Yeah. God sees you and says, "What do you want to make today?" In the Hebrew Bible, the word forgiveness is sometimes, Psalm 51 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." Same word, create. Same word from Genesis 1, barach. That forgiveness is a new creation. Maybe we need to make some forgiveness. Maybe we need to accept some forgiveness. Yeah, what are you making? I think making is big, okay, and small. Making is personal. Maybe what you're making, no one ever sees and no one ever knows about. Yeah, but it's a way that you connect with the Creator by making. Or maybe what you make transforms a society, a church, a world. Interestingly, the two stories in Genesis tell of two totally different types of making. In Genesis 1, there is nothing. And it says God creates through this spoken word. Ex nihilo, Latin, out of nothing. God creates out of nothing. Maybe you can make anything with a tabula rasa. Or maybe you connect with the Genesis 2 story, where God, in almost this human form, bends over and picks up the dirt and breathes life into the dust. Maybe you're not an out-of-nothing kind of maker. Maybe you take things that are dirt and you can breathe life into it. Fabulous, incredible. Yeah. God says, what do you want to make today? And I think much of what we get to make today, it is related to our passions, our interests, possibly even our professions. We make all sorts of things. And it says here in Colossians, it says that Christ is the reconciler of all things. I think there's another thing that we all make. And we make love. We are commissioned to make love. Yeah. And this world of ours is in need of some reconciling. This world of ours is in need of some love making. Isn't that fun? It's just a fun thing to say. I can't say it enough. I'll tell you a thing that happened to me earlier this week. Although I requested to be on the bench, we ran short of players, able-bodied persons on the softball team on Monday night. And so I found myself in a position in which I had not been in 3 years, and that is at home plate holding a baseball bat. And a very nice gentleman, not very far away, tossed a very slow softball in my direction. It was right down the middle. It was nice and easy. And I held that bat. And I swung at that ball as hard, with all the muscle I could pretend to have. And I missed that sucker by a mile. And it hurt. I was sore for a couple days thinking, oh, that was that swing and a miss. I did not get on base all night. I did not hit a double. I did not hit a double, but I was born on second base. I was. I have been given every privilege a person in this world could ask for. It doesn't mean my parents didn't work hard. They did. They still do. It doesn't mean that I don't work hard. I do. But I have been given every possible opportunity, and this culture and this world responds. It responds to the effort that I put in more than it responds to the effort that others put in. And that I have been born on second base, and there are individuals in this world, persons of color, women, those who may be LGBTQ, those who may have been born with physical limitations or even mental illness. There are others who have not been born on second, and the system does not respond to their swinging at the same rate it does respond to mine. There is reconciling work for us to do. There is love making for us to do. There have been many in our world who have been left behind and not welcome to second base. We have work to do. Now, first, I think this is a proven fact that I have been born and placed on second when others have not. So the question of who is really, this is proved. How, and in Christ, the reconciler of all things is why. So we have the who, we have the why. We as a church, as a community, as a world, we get to discern sort of the direction of the Spirit as to how. How do we want this world of ours is hurting? Literally, creation could use some of our lovemaking. There are individuals and groups of people in our world who have been left behind. And we as a church and we as followers of Christ, we get to decide together how we want to do it. But let me add one aspect of the how that I think is pretty exciting. Allison is making a cabinet in our laundry room. Our laundry room flooded last November, and we've been trying to update it. So you can see how our marriage is going. And step by step, every other weekend, you know. And so Alice is making this beautiful wooden cabinet for it, and she's doing a great job. And she's a creative. She's a creator. And she's doing a great job. You know, I was captivated looking at this cabinet and thinking about this word of creation this week, and I thought, and with all due respect to my wife, she didn't grow the trees that made the wood. Okay? She didn't manufacture the saw that she used with precision, elegance, grace, and creativity. She didn't manufacture the saw that cut the wood. She didn't create the electricity that allows the saw to be turned on or the light switch to be turned on so that we can see how beautiful her cabinet is. And she's done a kick-butt job on this cabinet, okay? But she didn't grow the wood. We're all in this thing together. Someone else made the wood. Someone else manufactured the saw. Someone here in this community made sure that our light switch worked when we flicked the thing on. We cannot make love alone. We're doing this thing together. And I believe when we create, I believe when we include, I believe when we move together forward, the eternal Christ, the universal Christ, the Christ that created all things, holds all things, and redeems all things, that Christ is glorified. Let's pray together. We ask for your wisdom, O God, your Spirit, your whisper. Take my very limited human words . Partner them with you, the eternal word. May this give glory and honor. In the name of the Creator Christ and Holy Spirit, we pray and worship together. Amen. I invite you to stand as we continue to worship. If we can be of help to you now or at your convenience, we would be honored to do so.
with me for a second. Our Creator, our Redeemer, our hope. In your presence, your love, and your mercy, we live our lives. In your image, we go into the world to love you, to love one another, to love our world. In our sanctuary, we feel your presence so deeply, so intimately. But as we go into a world that seems so chaotic, so conflicted, your presence is our anchor. As we go out this week, we ask your blessing and your strength as we seek to share your love with one another. We love you deeply. In Christ we pray. Amen. Thank you.
was Elton and Bernie. It was you and me and Christ. Let's go make some love together.